Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today.
What a joy and a privilege it is to be here with you this morning and to share this time of fellowship around the Word of God. This is Brother Larry Knowles. This is a Redemption Time broadcast, and I am so happy to have you with us this morning. I appreciate you so much and pray that God will bless you through the efforts that we put forth on this broadcast. Now, we're going to have our candle lighting service at our evening service on December 21st. This is a beautiful service. We do have a little program we go through where people do different things, praying, singing, or reading poetry. Then we do have a time that you can light a candle for loved ones or maybe for someone that you want to remember in prayer. And then you as a family can stand around our altar and pray together. So if you'd like to have some quality family time, we invite you to come and be with us in that. Then our regular services, we do begin our Sunday morning services at 9:45 with Sunday school, 10:45 for morning worship, 6 o'clock Sunday evening for evening worship, and then 7 o'clock on Wednesday for our midweek service. We would love to invite you to come. Our pastor is Brother Rick Smeltzer, and we would love to invite you to come and be a part of any of these services. And I know if you do, that God will bless you. Now, I'm going to have a song, and then I'll be back, and we will begin today's message.
I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Miss Robin, y'all welcome Miss Robin Riggins tonight as she comes to sing to us. All right.
About tomorrow.
Our Heavenly Father, I thank you that I not only know you hold tomorrow, but I'm glad that I know you. And I'm thankful for the hope that we have for the future, only because of you. Without you, there is no hope for the future. It only gets darker. And as this life is over and we leave it without you, it gets even worse. Lord, we're so thankful this morning for the grace that you gave us, that every man can be saved. Every man can have the joy of the Lord in their heart. And when I say man, you know, Lord, I'm talking about the whole race. But Lord, I do know that you save people. I know that you plan our lives and that you control us, our lives. You bring us through the hard places. You give us the high mountaintops. And you are so good to us every day. Thank you, dear Jesus, for the blessed hope that we have of the future because of you. Lord, I want you to use this broadcast today in any way that you see fit. I pray, Lord, that you'll help me to edify your people and to get the gospel out to those who are not saved. In this day of very unsettled times, a time of violence, a time of unrest, and just so much hatred in the world. Lord, we do pray that if there's one listening today, it's not saved, that this will be the day the Holy Ghost knocks on their heart's door and they respond. Bless the sick. Bless the others that have needs that are outside of sickness and salvation. And the Lord, answer each request according to your will. And may your will be done. Thank you for the blessed season that we're about to enter, where we celebrate your coming to this earth. And we thank you so much for doing that, for coming, for dying, for resurrecting, and giving us the blessed hope that you're coming again. Lord, go with us through the broadcast. Use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, now, last week, we went through and we looked at the judgment of mankind's sin at Calvary. We did say that sin did have to be judged. And in order for God to be just and the justifier, He was the just and the justifier. In order to do that, somebody had to pay the sin debt. And so he decided that he would allow his son to do that. He was the only one that could, because it took perfection to meet God's standard. And Jesus is the only one that can ever meet that standard. But thank God, by the grace that God has given us, because of Jesus being able to do that, and him being willing to do that, we can have eternal life. Judgment of our sins at Calvary. Those are the sins of our past. Saved, sealed, forgiven, changed from a sinner to a saint, and then begin our earthly travels towards heaven. And so the next judgment that I want to look at is the judgment of the saints of themselves. Self-judgment of the saints. What are you talking about? Well, let's just look at some of these things here about some things that relate to that. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and you'll find that he had some things to say to him. And he said he had commended them for some things. And then in chapter number 3, he said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as to babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions? Are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? So, the church at Corinth had some problems. And this is where we find about judging ourselves. If you go on and we move on now to chapter 11, and in a minute we'll be doing some reading from that. But before we do that, I want to just talk a little bit about what Paul just said. He said they were carnal. He said, I can't commend you for these things. He had given them some commendations, but he said, I can't condemn you, but I can't condone these things. So he said, if you go through the book of Corinthians, you'll find that there were some people in the church that were doing sexual immorality. There were people that was doing excessive drinking to the point of drunkenness. Then there were four groups that were divided. And they were following different leaders and thought that there ought to be different leadership in the church. So they were divided. And they knew, the community knew they were disgraced, because they had heard of all the things going on in the church, the immoralities, the drunkenness, the divisions, and they had these degraded practices of the community had worked its way into the church. Corinth was a highly sinful city. About everything you can imagine went on there. And the church there had allowed some of this to creep in on them. And so it came to the point that the term Corinthian was a term of disrespect. Because if somebody called you a Corinthian, that was a high insult in those days. And the church had allowed itself to get so tangled up with the world that they were being judged by the world, and therefore these people were in the church and they were doing these things, and they were destroying the effectiveness and the message of the church. So let's examine some things that was going on there and get to the basis of our message concerning self-judgment. You remember I said in the message concerning judgment of our sins at Calvary that all sin has to be judged. Well, you see, friend, when a person is saved, God forgives them of every sin they've ever committed up to that point. They have. And in fact, that cross actually paid the price for the sin of men past, present, and future. However, sin, after you're saved, breaks the fellowship with God. And just like these folks, it brings disgrace upon the name of God, known the name of Jesus. It causes people not to have any confidence in the church. And so we find that this is what Paul was confronting here as he wrote this letter to the Corinthians. So what was going on here? Chapter 11, begin reading in verse number 17. It said, now this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What have you not heard to eat and to drink in? Or not have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I shall not. So, what was this thing that was going on? There was a selfishness and some things going on at what they call the agape feasts. Agape, or agape, if however you like to pronounce it, means love, the truest kind of love, the kind of love that Jesus had for us and that we need to have for him. Has nothing to do with lust. It's pure love. And so it was a tradition that these people would come together and eat a meal together. And this is not something that just started recently. I know we do occasionally have meals at our church to where we all bring something and we all share it alike. And we fellowship together, and these are love feasts. We eat together because we love each other. And that was what this was designed for there in Corinth. And this tradition goes way back farther than this, because the disciples often ate together and with Jesus and others as they traveled from home to home in towns that they were going to. Of course, Martha and Mary was one of the places they stayed often. And another time it said that he went to one of the publicans' house, upset the Pharisees. But he was always with his disciples, and they had these feasts of love. I was reminded of this, some things about as they traveled from place to place, and they would eat with the family that where they stayed. I had a distant cousin that I did not even know existed until she was very, very old. But she was a daughter of my great aunt, my grandfather's sister. And I spent some time with her as I could, as in her older days. And then not long after I learned of her, became acquainted with her and spent some time with her, she passed on to glory. But she told me stories about when their family would come to visit my grandfather. Now, you got to remember, these two families were probably 35 or 40 miles apart. But it was in the days before anybody had vehicles that were motorized. Oh, there might have been a few, but it wasn't the norm. It was the exception. Everybody at that time, the poorer folks, like my folks all were, they traveled in a wagon pulled by a horse. And the trip from their house to my grandfather's house took more than a day. And it so happened that another relative or acquaintance of the family lived somewhere in between the two families. And so when they would go on that journey to my grandfather's, they would go the first day to that person's house and they would spend the night. And then on the way back, the same thing. When they left my grandfather's house to go home, they would do the same thing. And that is what was happening as Jesus traveled around. And wherever he was at, he took advantage of the hospitality that they offered. I remember another gentleman who told me the story about some people that did that, traveling and stopping often. And he said that the gentleman was sharing with him the story of a time that some folks came to their house to stay overnight. And it came up an awful storm, and the storm just got everything started, and it rained hard for a solid week. And those people were kind of trapped there, and the host family had to feed them and take care of them. So people sharing together in a home or someplace is not an unknown practice in the early church days or in our day and time. As I said, our church, we often, well, not real often, but we occasionally have a meal together, special occasions, and we do celebrate these feasts because we love each other. So when they came together, they didn't do it exactly as we do it. Now, as I said, when we do these feasts, we bring our food and everybody shares in everything. Everybody puts whatever they bring into together, and we all enjoy that together. But what was happening here in Corinthians, if you notice, as we were reading this, we find that verse 21 says, "In eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and one is drunken." What was happening? Well, it would appear that, as in all churches and as in just about any gathering of people, there were some people who were better off financially than others. So, but they did not share everything common as we do when we have our feasts. Some that they brought everything from home that they were going to eat. And he said, some of you are eating to excess. Some of you have got a lot. But then there's some more that are hungry. And he said, not only that, but when you have these love feasts, supposed to be celebrating the love and fellowship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, some of them were drinking to excess and getting drunk. So this is some of the things that was going on. So there was, first of all, disorder at the table. I want you to notice the division of this disorder when Paul talked about how some of you say that you're of Paul and some of you say you're of Apollos and some of you say that you're of somebody or the other. And that's just nothing but confusion and division. It's not about love and harmony and one mind and purpose. These things should not exist in any church, in any shape, form, or fashion, in the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we got in that church, if it's a true church of God, true church of Christ, that belongs to Christ, we got there because Jesus loved us enough to save us and to put us in there. He made us part of that assembly. And we ought not to have these disorders. And Paul told him, he said, he's talking about if you're going to do it that way, he said, verse 22, "What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." So while some brought large quantities of fine eats, and they probably overstuffed themselves, and then they drank to excess and became drunk, while others that were not so fortunate, they were going to away from these feasts hungry, because they just ate what they brought. And Paul says, I can't commend you for that. You're selfish. You do not care of others. Then he went on to talk about, he was disapproving them, because he talked about there was heresy there. And that meant that there were some of them were actually listening to and following up on heresy or false doctrines. And it brought disagreement because they would not believe God's truths. Heresy is kind of like gossip. And gossip has no place in the New Testament church. Divisions have no place in the New Testament church. I'm getting to my subject about self-judgment. We're going to get to it. This one's going to take a while. So just get ready to listen for a while, because it's going to take me a while to do a good job on this one. There was divisions. There was disorder at the table. There were disapprovals because some were listening to heresies and did not agree with the Word of God. And they were talking about things that were heresy. And that's one of the awfulest things that can be permeated into a church, is people listening to old cliches. I've heard people quote scripture that wasn't anywhere close to the Bible. And then I've heard people quote scriptures that spun the word in the gospel, in the Bible. You know, the Bible said many times, "And it came to pass," which means this is what happened next, or close to that. And I've heard people say that that means, and they've quoted as, "This too shall pass," saying that nothing is going to stay bad forever. It's all going to pass. Well, my time's up. I've got just a few seconds left. Friend, you need to have your sins. If you're not saved, you need to have your sins judged at Calvary. Get yourself saved. Miss hell. Gain heaven. But if you are saved, friends, there's going to come a time you're going to need to know about this saint's self-judgment. Lord, if there's one out there this morning that's under conviction, I pray that you'll save them today in Jesus' name.